This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Caney. Since it started in 1992, Learning Through Art has reached more than 1 million people in the community. The nonprofit group, which uses art appreciation to help children and families learn to read, is celebrating its 25th anniversary with Cincy Reads, 3 days of events later this month that will wrap our region in reading. And here to discuss boosting literacy through the arts and the upcoming events are Learning Through Art CEO and co-founder Kathy Wade, Jeanette Altenot with TriHealth, a sponsor for Cincy Reads, and Michelle Gunther, president of the Literacy Network. You can join us at 513-419-7100. You can email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Jeanette, Kathy, and Michelle, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. And you handed this to me during the break. I have this big smile on my face, the owl with the glasses.
Yes.
And it says hashtag LTA Cincy Reads.
Yes, that is our mascot owl for
I like him.
Books Alive. It's actually a she. Her name is Paige okay. Turner. And she's
thank you for
popping
correcting
up
me.
All over Cincinnati.
Paige Turner.
I know.
That's good, though. That's good. Kathy, how did Learning Through Art get its start?
You know, actually, it was an idea of my late husband. I was doing performances. I sing professionally. I sing jazz. And I was doing programs in schools, waiting for my star to ascend, and came home one day rather frustrated about the lack of students and not understanding that scratch noise, they thought it was an instrument in rap music. Rap music was just coming out at that time. And I was fussing. He had suggested that we start a nonprofit, and I let it. He did. We got it incorporated, and I let it sit for a year. I came home that day, and he said, "Well, you know, we are a 501c3, and you could apply for a grant, and then you could expand your program and help these kids to understand what instrumentation is, and so on and so forth." And I said, "Okay." We applied for a grant to the Jurgens Foundation for $8,000. We got $5,000, and now we're 25 years old.
Did you think it was going to turn out that way?
I did not. Actually, well, no, it's interesting. Once we got started with the programs, one program led to another. I went out on tour with the Playhouse Educational Tour, and they came back the following year and said, "Do you have another program? Because this one went so well." And I really didn't. And I said, "Yes, of course I do." So I was downtown on Vine Street, and I was on the street, and a young man was just screaming at somebody. I looked out my window because the words were rather profane. And I looked up, and he was talking to an adult, and I thought, oh, next show, it's all going to be about respect. So we created Rhythms, Common Bonds.
And then how do you use the arts to help boost reading?
Yes. You know, it's interesting. With Books Alive for Kids, the reason we ended up going into Books Alive for Kids from the performing arts piece, the artists were then asked to do integrated arts programming, which meant you had to figure out how to take curriculum topics and put it into your programming. And I really wasn't for that. I thought art should be taught for the sake of art, because that's what makes us common, and it's a very common bond between people. And since we had to come up with something, I love to read, and I thought, well, if I base it on reading, maybe I can get away with this. Long story short, I was telling my late husband's niece, who was a teacher at the time, special ed, what I wanted to do. I wanted to make books do things, walk across water, talk to people, you know, get kids to read them. And she said that would be a language arts program. And I said, okay, well, that's a start with one curriculum topic in the classroom. So we started with that. I took a book and I said, okay, let's make this book come alive, which is how we came up with Books Alive for Kids. And we make it come alive through sight, sound, and touch. So we look at three different types of methods of teaching. So you read the book, you make it crafted, and there's a show. We've been doing it now for 19 years, and it's been very successful.
Mm-hmm. Michelle, how is our area doing in terms of promoting literacy?
Well, with groups like Kathy's and ours and the amount of volunteers, I think it's more out in the forefront than it was before, but it's a continual problem. About 15 to 20% of our population struggles with illiteracy. And if we can capture the children when they're young, we have a much greater success rate than if we wait till they're adults and they come to us later. So part of what we do, besides the education piece, is helping people feel comfortable to say, I'm struggling. Illiteracy doesn't have anything to do with intelligence. It's really a lot about, I didn't get the right tools growing up. And so we try to make it fun, engage them in the right way. So using different techniques, multi-sensory type of ways to get them engaged. And family illiteracy is very much a family issue. And what Kathy's organization does is really gets them energized. So if we can get the parents to feel comfortable engaging, then it's much easier for them to show that love with their children.
Yeah, how important is it for parents to read to their kids?
Oh, it's critical. Mm-hmm. It's there's such a gap between kids who grow up in a house with books and kids who grow up in houses where parents don't read or they don't have access to those books. And that gap keeps widening week after week, month after month. And so, you know, we do a lot of book drives to get books in kids' hands, but also just helping parents be aware of how important it is to take that time to read 15 minutes a day mm-hmm. and can make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Jeanette, what makes this important to the business community, to an organization like TriHealth?
Well, TriHealth's certainly excited to partner with Learning Through Arts. I've worked with Kathy for a long time on this project. And for TriHealth's perspective, we know that it's an important investment in the health of our community to support these types of initiatives and to help the young people, one, generate a foster of a love of reading, but then also to help them get into the schools, keep them moving through the school system, and hopefully have them stay here as talent in our city.
Mm-hmm. Kathy, what are the programs that you have at Learning Through Art?
The other programs that we have, mm-hmm. besides Books of Life for Kids, we do our Macy's Kids Cultures, Critters, and Crafts Festival.
Okay.
This is our 25th anniversary. So this is where we, for the entire time that we have been an organization, we always wanted to make people have people understand that there's a seat at our table for you. I think it's very important that people know that you're not waiting to the last minute when you actually need an audience to go get the audience. So we've always been very sensitive about that. And our summers have always been dedicated to building bridges, breaking down barriers to bring neighbors and neighborhoods together to celebrate our mosaic beauty. That started out as the Hood is Bigger Than You Think tour. For 13 years, we did that. We would partner. We would take people to places that they couldn't get in, didn't feel like they couldn't afford, whatever. So we did lots of partnerships with people with 3 concerts over the summer. Our last big partnership was with the Cincinnati Museum Center. We took their Free Friday and went from 2,000 to 10,000 for 2 years. And then 130th birthday party for the zoo, they asked me to come and sing. I did. And once I was there, I thought, this might be a great place to come and bring people to build that bridge. So ultimately, I met with the zoo and said, hey, would you be interested? And we brought the 2-legged animals from around the world to join the multi-legged animals from around the world. Everybody could get to meet everybody. We got neighborhood happening. So I said, and by the way, can you open the doors for free? First 3 years, it was free of charge. By year 3, we had 30,000 people in the zoo. Year 4, we went to we were on Fridays. Year 4, we went to a Wednesday, and that's where we've been for the last 9 years. So this will be our 13th year coming up, and it is the Macy's Kids, Cultures, Critters, and Crafts Festival. And literally, we want you to come meet your neighbor. That's what we do. So that's our one program. Then Books Alive for Kids has now spun off into the Books Alive for Kids Family Literacy Program, which is what we do with the Literacy Network. And now, of course, Cincy Reads, and then we have our Cincinnati Snaps program, which was something that we did during the Hood is Bigger Than You Think tours and our first zoo days where Kroger gave us cameras, which we personalized, and you could take a picture. It's something that I did in another life with Jeanette Altenau, Channel 12. We've been together a long time. So you would snap a picture, send it to the station. They would air it. We turned it into a book. The book became very popular. So we now have the virtual exhibition, which is going to actually go back up on the LED board on Fountain Square the last week of September in recognition of our 25th anniversary.
In those 25 years, what are some of the milestones that stand out to you,
Kathy? I think for us, the milestone of, one, being able to access schools and still accessing schools. I know that can be a struggle for a lot of other organizations, but we have fostered a great relationship with the Cincinnati Public School System, just all the schools around the region. We try our hardest to make sure that what we're doing gets out to them. The Macy's Kids, Cultures, Critters, and Crafts Festival, building that, taking one project and continuing to let it build so that it morphs and you continue to bring people into the fold. I think our working with the Links Incorporated nationally and on an area level has been very influential. That's what's helped to spur the Books Alive for Kids program getting into 18 states. We've actually been used in 2 Indian reservations in the Head Start program. So having that kind of access has been very important. And then actually seeing the results of the program, knowing that we've been able to take reading scores from very low numbers to 80% passage rate at some schools is very encouraging.
Yeah, keep expanding on that idea of the impact that these programs
have
had.
Well, the impact for us is, you know, I just left UC earlier today. I was lecturing for a class where we're on Project Since Project Cincinnati, which is utilizing researchers out of UC to come out into the community to measure impact. It's very difficult to measure the impact of something like the Macy's Kids, Cultures, Critters, and Crafts Festival because you really have to see somebody meet somebody. It's kind of hard to say, how do I, you know, measure that? And they've been very good at coming up with a methodology for us to take a measurement of it. So what we do know this year, because we finally got a decent number of surveys back thanks to PowerNet and to UC, we do know that people are meeting neighbors. We do know that they are learning something new. We ended up adding an international village this year with a passport plaza so that people actually got a mock passport to go visit six countries where you could learn something. So getting that response back that we are moving that dial, that you are seeing somebody or something or somewhere that you did not know. One of the biggest things that we find, not only with literacy, but just in terms of community, is that people get so pigeonholed that they forget that there is a vast number of folks here, right here in this region. This is not just black and white. This is multicolored. So we want you to see that, embrace it, and appreciate it, and celebrate it.
Jeanette, in your years of being involved with Learning Through Art, what's the impact that you've seen?
You know, it's been really exciting to see some of Kathy's projects that start with the little kids. You know, you've got kindergartners, first graders that are experiencing arts and literature in a different way for the first time in their lives, and it really brings it to life for them when they read a book and they have the opportunity to do a craft and to see a performance. To watch their faces and see the impact of that kind of connection for them between the book that they read and seeing a performance and watching how it's going to connect into their lives. To go from watching those young people all the way through, we've had kids come back who we've worked with for 10, 15 years, and you see them then in high school and you can say, okay, this project did work. You know, we've tried a lot of different things, but this one has really proven it works. And it resonates not only with the children who come, but it's also when they go home and they start talking about the project with their parents. And, you know, like you said earlier, sometimes it's a family issue. And so now they can read to their parents and you begin to have this ripple effect that goes far beyond the one performance that Kathy did in the school.
Right. Absolutely.
And Michelle, I mean, what do you see the impact of your organization and organizations like Kathy's being on literacy in this area?
Well, I think one of the things with literacy, it's because it's so foundational. You build on those small wins. So when you learn, you know, a sound and then you build on the next, that feeling of accomplishment sticks with you. And I think for some of those kids that Kathy, the ones that she worked with us were in the Price Hill area. There were some kids there that, you know, they'd been struggling. And so now they have some success and they want to show it off and they want to show their parents and their fellow classmates. And the question that we got after that first family literacy night was, when are you doing it again?
Right.
And so we did one last fall and then we did it again last spring because they kept asking. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I love to see that. One of my favorite stories is a little guy named Kevin who struggled and struggled, and he was only in second grade. And when it finally clicked, and I think we all know that moment when it's clicked for us or we watched a child where it clicks. When it finally clicked, he couldn't contain his excitement, and his teacher kept saying, "Kevin, this is great, but we have to let other kids take a turn." And he said, "I just can't help it. My brain is getting so big." And I thought, boy, that is so true. Yeah. That you want that feeling, exactly. Because the flip side of that is, you know, you feel somehow different, somehow not as intelligent as your classmates. Mm-hmm. And if you are confident in reading, then you're going to be confident in. It'll be easier to be confident in math.
A lot of other things.
Social studies.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. So, Kathy, you ever have anybody that jumped out at you like that?
Yeah, it's interesting because what we find is when you're able to have reading the book, making a craft, and then a performance, that moment, that light that comes on. And I think for family literacy nights, it's even more important because as a group, one of the things that we learned at Learning Through Art is that when we started off this journey of family literacy and Books Alive for Kids itself, we started out as a 3-week program, and then our study guides are so robust that we made it 6 weeks in the classroom. But then our program manager, Nina Parr, said, you know, we need to just figure out how to make this very succinct in terms of the experience so that people have that feeling of success. We've been utilized, we used to call it a snack pack. We were the Strive Be the Change volunteers needed a pack that they could work with kids. So we came up with something for them. And then we were working with CAA Head Start, and we used the Head Start Homeschool. So the teachers used this particular program. So we came up with these snack packs. And they were great. But what we learned, the number one thing we learned was that feeling of success. People, whether it's a volunteer or a parent or a child, they want to have a feeling of success when they finish whatever it is you're doing. So the first thing we did was to take the 6 weeks and made it 4 weeks. We put it all in a backpack. Everything is self-contained. Everything you need to make it happen is right there, from the vocabulary words to the craft to the book itself. So when you do it in a family literacy situation, you're going to then take that home. If we're in your school, that means you're going to get the wraparound effect. We do it in your classroom with your teacher and your students. Then we do it in the community with your parents and your family. Then you take the backpack home and you get to play with it and work with it as much as you want in the house. So we're wrapping it around. But the one thing we learned was that you need to make sure people have a sense of success, no matter where they fall on this spectrum. And as long as that happens, we will continue to get those aha moments. And for me, that's what I like to see, is that I got it.
Now, Cincy Reads is coming up closer to the end of this month. Okay, tell us about that.
So Cincy Reads is something that our board said, you know, we've done lots of black tie. We're known for the Crown Jewels of Jazz Festival and then the event itself. It actually started out as black tie sit-down dinner cocktails and cabaret. We had everybody from Rosemary Clooney to Eartha Kitt for 13 years. And we decided that for our 25th anniversary, they made the decision that we wanted to do something mission-driven. And I was sitting around thinking, as my staff will say, don't trust her too long to sit around and think. God only knows what she'll come up with, and we'll all be working into the late in the night. And this is true. So, but the bottom line is that I said, let's do something called Cincy Reads, and this is what we're going to do. We're going to wrap the region in reading for 3 days. So day one, we want to do a read aloud, because reading aloud 15 minutes every day is what you really want to shoot for. So we decided to create a read aloud. We went out there and found 25 people to partner with us, different companies, and TriHealth was kind enough to sign on first, and we're ever so grateful. So we wanted to have 25 companies making sure that they did read alouds with their employees, or if they didn't do employees, they could then donate it to some center or some nonprofit or whomever they wanted to use it. And then we're hosting a big read aloud on Fountain Square, where we'll actually read the book, and then the children's theater who works with us will do the performance. The book is called Giraffes Can't Dance. So that's Friday. And we had this huge challenge. It's called the Cincy Reads Challenge. We want everybody to take on to it. Just go to our website at learningthroughart.com, click on Cincy Reads, click on the challenge, sign up. We just want to know that you're doing it. And then we have our Paige Turner mascot. You can download her, cut her out. When you're reading aloud, stream it, or take pictures of it with Cincy Reads and then hashtag it LTA Cincy Reads and put it up on Facebook or on any social media platform, because we want the world to know that Cincinnati's reading on the 22nd. On the 23rd, we want you to then bring your family, friends, whomever, down to Ziegler Park. We are the very first official. As a matter of fact, we have the first permit, and it's numbered one.
So makes sense.
We're going to be in Ziegler Park.
Okay.
On the 23rd. From 11 to 1, we want you to come down, and every child that comes will get a backpack, and we're hoping that every child comes with an adult. If
that's
not,
one of the backpacks you described earlier?
Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. We'll have the backpacks there. We're going to actually do a Books Alive for Kids event. So you'll come down, your child will get the backpack, you'll work with them, and right then and there, we will empower families to engage in reading. There's no mystery. It's all about just taking the time to do it, and we'll show you those simple things that you can remember. We give you vocabulary words, which are the sight words, the Dulch words. We give you the craft. The book goes home with you. Everything goes home with you. And then we'll have a little refreshment at the end to celebrate our 25th anniversary. And then on Sunday, the 24th, we're going to have a self-directed scavenger hunt. We have selected 10 iconic locations in Cincinnati. I will tell you that the Cincinnati Bell Connector is one of them. I'm going to tell you that off the bat, because if you get on it, you can ride around on it and see the other eight. There are a couple of them up in Eden Park, but we want you to go on our website. It'll be all over social media. All the clues, you just find it. You'll see Paige in a window. Take your picture, snap it, load it up, put LTA Cincy Reads with the hashtag, and then we'll pick the top best 10 best liked selfies the next day, and you'll win a prize.
Kathy, do you have a number in mind of how many people you want to participate in this?
I don't have a number in mind beyond 1 million. We really want this to trend.
Well, that is the amazing
really
thing.
We really want to go viral.
Well, and in your 25 years, you've reached a million people in the community.
Have.
That's an amazing thing.
We have. It's been fascinating to watch it happen. You lose count because I started doing programs before the agency was built, you know, before we started Learning Through Art. So to now see the children of the children of the children is more than a notion, but we are. And it's good because, you know, I'm from Cincinnati. This is a Procter & Gamble town, and it's all about how you get people to come and stay with you for a journey. And they've stayed with us, and we're very grateful that they've let us come. And then we're even more grateful that they've stayed.
Yeah. And well, Jeanette and Kathy and Michelle, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you for having us.
Learning Through Art CEO and co-founder Kathy Wade, Jeanette Altano with TriHealth, a sponsor for Cincy Reads, and Michelle Gunther, president of the Literacy Network. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. You can find archives of our programs at WVXU.org. The producer for today's show was Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer was Selena Reeder. Josh Elstro was the technical director. William White composed the Cincinnati Edition theme music. I'm Mark Haney.